item 8.2, Pesticide Use Control Amendment Bylaw Number 3872. We have a motion.
Moved by Councilor Lyason, seconded by Councilor Flynn, that the bylaw entitled Pesticide Use Control Amendment Bylaw Number 3872 be read a first, second, and third time. Your Worship, this report and the associated bylaw bring forward recommendations to amend the existing pesticide use control bylaw from the Development and Planning Services Committee, and those include the addition of a number of definitions within the bylaw, as well as a number of exceptions, including the sterile insect release program, urban and rural fruit trees, the CSRD and city noxious weed program, city infrastructure, new lawns which are seeded, and finally pest infestations.
Thank you. Councilor Lyason. Okay, Councilor Cannon.
So I wasn't at the development and planning meeting, but I just wanted the definition of city infrastructure means roads, sidewalks, boulevards, utilities, and utility right of way. Could I just get a explanation on that? Utility and utility right of ways, what is that?
That means, Your Worship, where we have basically water and sewer and storm sewer mains that could be located under roads, or most of the time they're located within city rights of way that are on private property but are protected by a right of way so that the city can get in there and maintain and fix them. So that's what that is referring to.
So the utilities and utility right of ways then, the way that this bylaw is looking, staff would be able to spray pesticides on there to manage them?
Yes, this amendment would give the authority to staff to use pesticides. And if you look at the wording, it's where required to prevent and or address structural or functional deterioration. So that means, for example, if a sidewalk is starting to crumble from weeds coming up through it, that would be a structural deterioration. Or if it becomes unable for people to walk on a sidewalk because there are weeds everywhere, then staff would be able to use pesticides. But having said that, it still is a matter of last resort for staff to do that. We would still go through all of the measures that we could before that in accordance with the IPM standards, and Mr. Ackerman may want to comment on that.
Mr. Ackerman.
Your Worship, to address Councillor Cannon's concerns with utilities and utility right-of-ways, most commonly if you have a bunch of brush that is growing up through a right-of-way, it is a common practice to go through, cut and paint with a pesticide to eliminate that growth from reoccurring over a water line or sewer line, which can substantially affect the infrastructure. So that would be the main use there. Pesticides for use on sidewalks, boulevards, would only be used as a last resort when other alternatives, whether it be EcoClear or the Aquacide unit, were not showing signs of success. We would then evaluate a pesticide application to bring that level back to a manageable threshold that we could continue to be effective with the Aquacide unit or the EcoClear applications.
Okay. Can I ask another question while Brad's still up there? The definition of the hard landscape, constructed surface typically used for landscaping, such as, I guess my concern is, wood chips, mulch, brick, or recycled rubber. So does that mean like gardens that have those pavers and stuff like that? I guess if you haven't used landscape fabric, weeds come up in those, and those under this definition can be sprayed with pesticides?
That would be correct as part of the IPM modeling, and we use that definition of hard landscape as a starting point because it's recognized in a bunch of the other pesticide bylaws, and it's kind of an industry standard definition from the BC Landscape and Nursery Association in comparison to soft landscape. So it's a term that's kind of industry known, and everyone can hear that term and know what it consists of.
Okay. There was one other. I'm good for now. I have another question, but I got to find it.
Yeah. Councillor Idzan.
Thank you, Your Worship. And just to let Councillor Cannon know, I asked the same question relative to hard landscapes. I guess the one sort of clarification that I need relative to both the city infrastructure and I can accept that staff, particularly with the hard infrastructure elements, can determine if the infrastructure is being sufficiently degraded to warrant more extreme measures to protect those investments. But relative to hard landscapes and such, have we defined yet the sort of benchmark of how long we will try the alternative measures before we will consider the more aggressive activity of specifically using a pesticide, such as two seasons or anything like that? Because that seems to be sort of wanting to show the good faith that we will endeavor and not just go, well, we sprayed it once this season, it didn't work, so we're doing the pesticides. It's mainly just trying to clearly demonstrate that to both the public and the various property owners what the expectation is of reasonable effort.
Yeah, there's a number of different practices that you can use to kind of determine that threshold, whether it be a percentage of weed cover within a test area and set some thresholds on that. I think another key important factor is the life cycle of that weed or pest. Is it through its kind of initial growth stage, and will that problem decline, and does it justify a chemical treatment? So all those things would be factored in before we looked at utilizing a pesticide application.
But do we need to define what those measures are in the bylaw, or what's the best practice relative to providing some clarity so that people can go, we understand what needs to be tried?
There's so many factors at play there that I don't think you can set a defined criteria within the bylaw that would cover all the instances. I think as you go through the integrated pest management model and look at, like I say, the stage of growth, level of infestation, we can set some thresholds. If it's 50% weed cover in a meter square, say, that would be above a threshold that would be tolerable, or 50% weed cover within that area and X amount of applications have been made with an aquaside unit. And
but all that would be documented and then be available for checking if necessary.
Yes, definitely.
Thank you.
Councillor Flynn.
Thank you, Worship. And I just wanted to go to page 47, section 6, where the exceptions for the SIR program, urban rural fruit trees, and the CSRD city noxious weed program are put in print as the Okanagan chair for the SIR program. I know the previous bylaw said that it wasn't going to apply to SIR, but this at least specifically speaks to that, and I think that's the right way to go. The fact that urban and rural fruit trees have been accepted is very valuable to the SIR program, because quite often the problem isn't with apple trees in orchards, it's with apple trees bordering orchards, crab apple trees, wild trees. And so that's a very important exception. And then obviously taxpayers' dollars goes towards the CSRD noxious weed program, and that now being accepted is important. I did have a question with regards to 6Q. Pest infestations with a council resolution. Now, I'm not an IPM. I'm not sure what value there is in coming back to this table when it's really a technical issue. And I guess I'm asking, that pest infestation issue came up because of the infestation on the trees in the downtown is where that specific example came up. But could a private certified applicator or IPM person come to you or to staff and say, this person has an infestation in their lawn, the only way to deal with it is, and it's going to destroy their lawn, the only way to deal with it is pesticides, and then is that the example that this is for? And would that then have to come to council? And wouldn't timing be fairly important? And really, am I the right person to be making that decision?
Q speaks to city infrastructure not dealing with residential or anything, and it would be a presentation to council to identify the problem, what is at risk, and how that's kind of over and above what we would normally see as a regular pest situation, and then just to provide council with that information on what control measures have been taken and the success rate and what application we'd be looking at making, and just kind of to bring council up to speed and have their support.
So that, that pest infestation then is just related to city property?
Yes.
So we could have, I mean, I'll use a worst case scenario, something that is destroying everybody's lawns, and there wouldn't be a way to, I mean, some people might not care that people's lawns are being destroyed, but there wouldn't be a way for that to be dealt with?
That, I'll let Carl speak to that if there's another alternative there for...
I think that would require another amendment.
Okay. I didn't really want to hear that answer. I was hoping that would be dealt with in this. Okay, that's fine. I guess maybe we'll have to deal with that if it occurs. Hopefully it won't.
Councilor Jameson.
Thank you, Your Worship. I think when we started this discussion, I guess it's a year and a half ago, and I think it was even before that, even before my time on council, but I have to be... quite honest and say that as it's written here, it's not as restrictive as I had once hoped it would be. But I understand that there's also some give and take needed, but this is certainly better than what we had prior to the introduction of the bylaw. And I think it also buys us a little time because I'm really hoping the provincial government will step in the coming years and do something about banning certain products and banning the application of certain products. But a couple of the questions were already answered of mine. I agree with Brad, though. I guess it's really difficult to actually have a schedule of criteria on how you can break down every species and every situation. But I really hope that staff outside who's doing the work, though, goes to the nth degree to make sure that pesticides are used only when necessary or when they believe it's necessary. Because... again, Councillor Idzan raises a great point about we need to go through a whole growing cycle, sometimes even two, to get a true handle on what the behavior of a plant and an invasive species. So I'm going to support the amendments. It's not what I wanted, say, 6 or 8 months ago, but it's what I think I can swallow now because I think we're going in the right direction and it'll buy us some time.
Councillor Lyason.
Thanks, Your Worship. I'm addressing the issue that Councillor Flynn was talking about on page 40, where he was talking about it under Q, but pest infestation with a council resolution and treated by a certified applicator. This bylaw has been written to require council resolution to enact this exception. Council may want to change this, so Director of Engineering and Public Works has this outright authority. I look at it, and if we have a pest infestation and we need to deal with it, or something that requires a resolution of council, that could take up to 2 weeks. Sometimes if it happens on the wrong day, 3 weeks, maybe a month. And I really wonder if we want to tie ourselves up with that kind of bureaucracy rather than being able to react quickly through the Director of Engineering and Public Works and the staff who are probably a little more attuned to this sort of issue. So I'm throwing that out there to council if we wanted to make that power with the Director of Engineering and Public Works rather than ourselves, which may be putting it too late, so to speak, if it's in our hands and has to come to council for a resolution. Just looking for thoughts on that.
Mr. Ackerman, maybe you'd like to comment on that.
I think it would be feasible as well. I think to address your concerns and Councillor Jameson's concerns, anytime there's a pest infestation or a certified applicator goes out to make an application, their training in that certification has them go through that process, that what are the alternatives, where is that pest or insect at in its lifestyle, what's the risk for damage, and they go through and there's a certain steps that you get towards until you identify that there is a need for a pesticide application. It's not just that one go-to. Automatically, I see this insect, I'm going to spray for it. How many are there? There's a number of things that go into that. And when it gets time to address a pest epidemic, we would be looking at, infestation, we would have a lot of that information already built up, and we would know in advance that control method A, B, and C haven't been successful. So we know that in the next 5 to 10 days, we'll be looking at having to make a pesticide application in order to bring that down to a manageable threshold. Okay. So it could very well go through the Director of Engineering and Public Works for approval with follow-up to council the next available opportunity.
Okay, because, I mean, if we talk about the infestation on Alexander Street, which was one of the main concerns, would fast action, I mean, 3 weeks, I think we've already seen some, we would see some backlash and see some damage done by that. So I'm wondering if eliminating that and taking that to the director would streamline that process and make it more effective for staff.
Engineering.
Your Worship, we could treat these, if council wished to give the director that power, we could treat them like we do road closures, which you give the director the authority to close roads. And whenever I close the road, I copy mayor and council with that approval. We could do it the same way, so council know what's happening.
All right.
But would that require an amendment, Your Worship? To
I believe it would.
I would make that amendment, Your Worship, to allow the Director of Engineering to have that outright authority.
Be a seconder to that? Director of Engineering or Parks or
Director of Engineering, I believe. That's what the memo says. Okay. I think that's the person responsible.
Seconded by Councillor Flynn. Yes, speaking to the amendment. Councillor Cannon.
Well, for me it doesn't make sense that it would be Director of Engineering, because I wouldn't think that he knows a lot about landscape and bugs and pests and infestation and epidemics of bugs and stuff. So I would like to see.
Just to clarify, I believe.
Manager of Parks.
Or I believe the manager of Parks reports to engineering, and no doubt the manager of Parks would run this by engineering before he did this, and then it would come to council as it should be. Am I correct?
He's. Okay, Brad.
Councillor Flynn?
Yeah, I guess I support the amendment. I'm totally confident that in the current format, the Director of Engineering and Public Works would consult with Mr. Ackerman. I'm sure he would be involved in the process. I guess I was just going to ask the CAO, do we need to make an amendment, or could we make an amendment that says that council can approve based on emails being sent out and voting in that manner? Would that be, that would still give council the ultimate approval with all the input in case there was an emergency, or is it better to deal with it this way? Because I know the original proposal, staff recommended against giving that authority to the Director of Engineering and Public Works and wanted that ultimately to be council's decision. We're worried about timing, so is there any way a council resolution can be done without it being done in a formal meeting?
My mind, if we get emails concerning some infestation, we would bring that to the attention of engineering and parks.
Oh, I understand that, but then they would do all the work and then send to us, here's our planned attack, we need you to pass this, can we do that without a formal meeting? Because the issue is the timing of the formal meeting if you had to deal with an emergency.
I'm thinking we're getting away from approving it by council.
I understand, but the original, what I'm getting at is the original report from the CAO did not want that authority. He did not recommend for that, and that's why we went this route. So maybe you could clarify that, Carl.
It wasn't this topic.
Wasn't
you're
it?
You're okay. Confused about that.
Okay.
In fact, staff do support this amendment.
Okay.
And we don't have electronic voting, so any vote of council has to be at a meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Still on the amendment, Councillor Gannon? Okay, all in favor of the amendment? Any opposed? Okay, and how, Councillor Eliason, you're up on the motion as amended?
I'll support, Your Worship.
Councillor Flynn?
I'll support as well, thanks.
Anything further? Councillor Cannon.
So I just had a question in regards to under 6 penalty, 6.3. So in this bylaw, it says offenses for which tickets can be issued, yada, yada, yada. bylaw number 2760. So right now, as this bylaw sits, we have no nothing in place to ticket anyone, do we?
That's correct. Are you referring to section 6.3?
Yeah.
Yes, and that's there, I guess, for ease in the future if council does want to create a ticket. That's why that is in there. But presently, there is no fine.
So in most of the pesticide bylaws that I've looked at, there is a fine schedule in there. So I guess my thoughts are, like Councillor Jameson, I'm disappointed that we're, you know, making these changes, but I can live with it. But I would like to see us put some kind of fine in place and using some of the other bylaws that are out there to get a fee schedule from. So I don't know if I need to make that motion.
Well, that would be a different motion. I think we should just deal with this one first, and perhaps it would be appropriate to discuss that with staff and bring it up at the next meeting.
So would it be appropriate to do this at this time or at another meeting?
Your Worship, it wouldn't be part of this bylaw. It would be an amendment to our MTI bylaw. So it would be a different motion, as the Mayor indicated. But I guess staff did get direction on that issue already when this has come to the Development and Planning Services Committee many times and did not get direction to do that. So that's why we have not done it to date.
Okay. All in favor of the motion as amended? Opposed? Motion is carried.